This is the Head On Radio Network, The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. A report just released by the White House says that Al-Qaeda remains the most serious and dangerous terrorism threat. The report titled, quote, National Strategy for Homeland Security, end quote, also said Al-Qaeda is attempting to place agents inside the U.S. A government panel recommends irradiators be removed from U.S. hospitals because they fear terrorists could access their radioactive materials to make dirty bombs. The machines are used for radiation therapy and to sterilize blood and food and could be swapped out for less dangerous machines. Newly declassified documents reveal that the potential for using radioactive poisoning to assassinate foreign figures was approved at the highest levels of the U.S. Army in 1948. The effort apparently died in the mid-50s. The Supreme Court has denied, without comment, an appeal by a Lebanese-born German who sued the U.S. government for $75,000 for allegedly having been kidnapped in Macedonia in 2003 and flown to Afghanistan, where he was tortured for 5 months. The 44-year-old man said that he was traumatized by the experience. At least 250 people have died over the last 4 days amid intense fighting between Pakistani forces and Taliban insurgents along the Afghan border. Residents who are said to be fleeing the area by the thousands say many civilians died. It's the heaviest fighting in months in the Waziristan region, an area the U.S. refers to as an Al-Qaeda safe haven. In Sudan, reports that at least 50 people were killed in a government-backed attack could mean the pullout of the only Darfur rebel leader that has signed a peace agreement. Amnesty International says the Sudanese army may be trying to gain more ground ahead of upcoming peace talks to be held at the end of the month in Libya. Authorities in Spain suspect ETA in a car explosion today that injured a local legislator and a bodyguard. The blast in Bilbao comes just days after Basque separatists warned of more violence due to a renewed crackdown by authorities. And a plane carrying 9 skydivers home from an event in Boise, Idaho, crashed in Washington State, killing them and their pilot. A nearby hunter heard the engines rev before the Cessna 208 Grand Caravan nosedived into the mountains. The young adventurers were almost two-thirds of the way home. You're listening to the Quality News Network. More next.
PM Forney is on a mission to make life better. His pathway is civility. A professor at Johns Hopkins University, his pioneering study in civility produced a book called Choosing Civility, The 25 Rules of Considerate Conduct. In his book, Forney explains what is civility and what it means to be civil in today's world. He explores the recent decline of civility and offers ways that the direction might be reversed. His brilliant and engaging discourse outlines civility's basic rules, underscoring the values that practicing civility brings to our own lives, as well as to the lives of others. Forney's book is sprinkled with stimulating quotes, such as this by Dwight Curry, who said, "We have a choice about how we behave, and that means we have the choice to opt for civility and grace." For more information, click the Civility button on our website, QualityNewsNetwork.com.
This year's Nobel Prize for Physics has gone to 2 scientists, one from France, the other from Germany. The men are credited for independently discovering a physical effect allowing computer and digital devices to store large amounts of data. Their work led to the development of the miniaturized hard disk. On its way to Pluto, NASA's New Horizons spacecraft has sent back extraordinary photos and information on Jupiter. Full details that include active lightning strikes at both of Jupiter's poles have been published in the October 12th issue of the journal Science. New Horizons' ETA at Pluto is in the year 2015. British and French doctors have discovered that treating patients quickly for mini strokes may cut the risk of a major stroke later. And American Electric Power Company of Columbus, Ohio, is ordered to reduce emissions by at least 69% over the next 10 years and pay over $80 million in penalties for spreading acid rain across the Northeast. Union members negotiating with Chrysler say they'll strike tomorrow morning if an agreement on a new contract cannot be reached. They are giving an 11 a.m. deadline for tomorrow. At the close of Wall Street today, another record. The Dow was up 120 points to close at 14,164. The NASDAQ gained 16.5. S&P 500 was up 12.5 at 1565. Oil's up $1.24 a barrel at 80.26. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Michael Coleman.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 52 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is Tuesday, October 9, so if you're listening on a Tuesday evening at about 9 p.m. Eastern, you are listening to a live show, and you are welcome to phone in and talk with both myself and the guest, who I'll be introducing shortly. The telephone number toll-free is 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That's 877, the number 4-HEAD-ON. That translates to 877-443-2366. Or if you have unlimited long distance, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a dollar, and that's 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia, 304-658-3333. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the mail during the breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com. There you'll find links to the guests, as well as to the audio archives from past shows, as well as to our chat room, which is active as we speak. I'm there, and lots of other of our incredible, most knowledgeable people in the world are in the chat room. You'll find links at the strictlyconfidentialradio.com also to the main Head On Radio Network site. You can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, and links are there, too, for the Strictly Confidential MySpace page. It'll let you locate links, too, for the music that you hear on the show. There's a separate section for that to make that easier to locate any of the tracks that you might hear on the show that you want for yourself. I am so pleased to have our guest this evening. I would say a brave man, because this particular community has virtually never heard from by anyone. It's in many ways voiceless. Heterosexual cross-dressers, really, they don't bother anyone. Gay people normally regard them with just incomprehension, don't understand it. Transsexuals often regard them as men who are just settling for cross-dressing because they don't have the courage to act out on being a transsexual, or they regard them as a closeted gay man that are just too homophobic to come out and admit that they're gay. Other straight men often find them funny or sad, or sometimes they're enraged by them, as we've talked about many times in this program. When the murders happen, they almost always border on being annihilation, way overkill. About the only people that the heterosexual cross-dressers can rely on are oftentimes the women in their lives, their wives or perhaps their girlfriends. They tend to be a more dependable source of understanding, but not necessarily. It's something I've had some questions, people wondering, well, why are you having a heterosexual cross-dresser on the show? Well, obviously, this is a question of gender identity or gender presentation. We often talk about these topics on the show. So without any further ado, I'll re-welcome, and by re-welcome, I mean we've had this guest before, but he was appearing in his professional capacity as a DJ. And tonight we re-welcome VJC as a heterosexual cross-dresser. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Peter.
Hi.
Silent
good
evening.
Good evening to you, sir.
I have to tell you. Cross-dresser.
Yes, I have to tell you, I'm probably more nervous about this show than you are, and it's. I can't really put my finger on it. You know, we have a group of what we call news ninjas. And there are people that are associated with the network, and they gather news for us and help us in our job in pulling together shows. And one of our news ninjas listed on the Head On Radio Network site, a very funny spin on it. Cross-dressing. It's not just for breakfast anymore. Which I thought was
yeah, I read that, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Wonderful spin to a complex subject. VJC, I don't know where to begin. Perhaps you have a starting point. Maybe when you realized that you wanted to do this.
Well, what happened was obviously when I was a child, something happened when I was 8, 9 years old. You know, I come from a big family, of 3 sisters, 4 brothers. You know, there was a lot of us. My mother, I was always very close to my mother. A long story short, something happened with my sister's dresses and my mother's undergarments and everything. I started wearing the dresses, the pantyhose and all that stuff when I was 8, 9 years old. And then as I was growing, it manifested. It's not something that I said it was a turn on. It was just something that happened as I was growing from as a child into my teens, into my adulthood. And it was something, especially when I got into my adulthood, that I said to myself, I can't be doing this. This is not right. A long story short, when I was in my 20s, I had went out and got a whole bunch of ladies' clothes and all this stuff in the store here in New York. I bought the wig, the shoes, the whole 9 yards, the whole thing. I did it for a couple of weeks. What I did was I threw everything away because I thought maybe if I throw it away, it'll go away. It got worse. It just got worse. So I had to go out and get a whole new wardrobe of clothes, the whole 9 yards, like I said earlier. So it was just something that it's never going to go away from who I am, because this is a part of me. And it's even in my relationship, I've always explained that with the ladies that I've been with. And if they couldn't handle it, then I couldn't have a relationship, because it's something what I do. So it's the same thing basically what I do with when I DJ. So it's two different things. But if you're addicted to something or like something, like you're doing something, it's hard to break that mold, because it's a part of you. It's like anything. I also do a lot of sport. When I was younger, I used to do always a lot of sporting events. I used to roller skate, ice skate, play basketball, play football. I mean, and I also cross dress. So, but I didn't think I was wrong with me. I thought that I thought that people weren't going to understand. They thought that I was going to be that I'm gay. But the thing is, the fact of the matter is that I've been a lot of my friends when I was growing up are male friends. Basically, and I never saw a male say, "Oh, I want him. I want him." But no, I always look at a woman. I said, "Wow, the woman that always turned me on." It's just something that the way a woman looks in a dress and the makeup and everything, it's something that just fascinated me, and it grew from something small into something big now, and that's what I do.
And, well, what I'm hearing you say in a way is that this is not about sexuality, it's more about personality. Would that be fair to say?
Right. Sometimes it turns sexual, but then more that right now I'm talking to you, I am in a dress and my heels and my bra with false breasts. And basically when I'm home, I'm basically dressed like this. And sometimes when I do my shows for Disco 93.5 here in New York, I am dressed. No one knows it.
Well, I'm wearing a pair of pajamas and white socks and a mic.
No one knows it's radio, right?
Right.
No one knows it. Nobody can see you. I mean, I'm here. I'm talking to you through the internet. I guess a lot of people either understand where I'm coming from, and others won't understand that. So, it's something that also in the last, I could say, 5 years at where I work, I've been letting a lot of people know what I do, because I got tired of people staring me down, like if something was wrong with me, like if I was a freak or something, and I'm not. I'm just who I am, and people have come to accept who I am. Some of them, just don't bother, look at me funny. So I mean, I'm not going to stop doing what I'm doing because someone's looking at me funny. It's their problem, not mine.
Well,
that's how I look at things.
Well, in trying to to get a big picture of it, I can say in looking through various the information that I have is, you know, as boys and as men, as we grow up, you know, society considers anything feminine to be weak. So when but boys and men always have feminine characteristics. But whenever we show those characteristics, it immediately meets you know, with disapproval. And you know, we're pretty sensitive kids, and you know, we realize that there's disapproval. So, but we have so many female potentials. Is that part of it? The recognizing the female potentials in your life that were
sure. That makes it easy for me to understand a woman or what a woman goes through, because a lot of men don't understand it because they're too busy. I guess this is just my opinion. I mean, all the guys out there, if they're listening, I mean, it's not nothing with them. I'm just saying that most men look at this thing because of the macho stuff about them. You know, they don't want to stoop down to their feminine side. They just don't want to show that because it's not right when you're a man. You know, you got to be that macho image. If it's not the macho image, there's something wrong with you, which I don't believe. It's just, you just got to let your hair down, excuse me, expression, and there's a go with this flow, you know, and put on pale heels and just see how it feels to be a woman. I mean, it's no big deal. I mean, I've done it for many years, and I don't see anything really wrong with what I'm doing because, like, I don't think I'm not bothering anybody. You know, it's not something that they're in my world. It's just my world. If they want to be in my world, they can be, and if they don't want to be, they could just, you know, close the door. Because I'm still going to do what I'm going to do.
Well, let me ask you about your female persona. When I take it that you don't always stay home, you get out and about in your female persona. Is that right?
Well, I used to years ago. I stopped doing it because I was talking to Agnes before I went on with you, and I told her the story that several years ago here in New York, I went out to a not a club, it was an apartment where you go and you meet other cross-dressers. And what happened was, I mean, I've shown you a couple of my pictures. And I look very feminine. I mean, I've never shown you the whole, you know, head-to-toe shots, and I will send you some more. Unfortunately, when I went there, it was just to mingle with other cross-dressers. It wasn't about to be going there and showcasing, look, who am I?
Well, let me just interject. Not only do you look feminine, you also look very happy.
Yeah, it tends to when I'm dressed up and I'm feminine, I'm very more happier that way than when I'm dressed as a man, because I have a tendency to, and I have this problem when I was growing up, that I think that I'm not very an attractive man, you know, because I'm very thin and I don't have a lot of features of a man. I have more features of a woman than a man when I was growing up. My hands look very feminine. I'm very thin. You know, I have a lot of characteristics of a woman. So I used to always ask my mother, what's wrong with me? Why my hands look like a woman? She used to tell me, it's because you can play piano. But I never played piano. That's what she used to tell me. Whatever. But getting back to the story in New York here, what happened was in the apartment, I got dressed up. And I had this nice dress that I got, a black and yellow dress. I put it on. The minute I put it on and turned around, everybody in the room was gasping, because there were a lot of men there that looked, they didn't look right. They just out of shape, and they didn't look right even with the makeup and everything. And I just put on my stuff, put on my stuff, and they all basically, you know, like, just wanted me to just go, because it was just so annoying that the way I looked. Because they were probably saying, oh, I wish I looked like that. But it wasn't about that. It was about, you know, it's just to mingle about what I was doing, what they were doing. That's all it was. So within a couple hours, I had to leave because it was just so uncomfortable. And this is just the cross-dressing community. So imagine what I have to go through, like with a brother or sister or a friend. And it's very, very difficult.
Well, yes,
why I came on the show? Because I'm tired of living behind closed doors in a closet. I'm tired of just, you know, not living the way I want to live because others perceive me to be a certain way. And if they do see me this way, it's taboo. What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm fine. Just get to know me first. Don't judge me because I put on a woman's dress. That doesn't mean I'm a bad person. And whether I'm gay or blue or whatever, that that has nothing to do with it. I'm still the same person. And if I do wear a dress and I'm gay, okay, so what's wrong with that? Right?
Well, right. And let me ask you about this. Over time, do you think that has your female persona influenced your male persona when you're dressed as a man? Do you learn something from that other person? What I'm wondering how the two relate.
Oh yeah. Well, obviously when I'm dressed as a woman, and I get to feel, I guess, and I'm not, I'm just guessing, because obviously I don't have female autonomy. No way. I mean, no matter how hard you try, no matter how many, if you're a she-male or a transsexual or whatever, you're never going to be a woman because you don't have the autonomy of a woman inside. No matter how hard you get a sexual surgery, SRS, sexual reconstruction surgery, you're still not going to be 100% a woman. So, but the long story short, the thing is, yeah, most of the time when I'm dressed up, I like to be dressed up more than I'm a man. It's just like I wish more like I was more of a woman than a man, if you get my drift.
I do.
I
can
feel
you
more
comfortable. Well, if you could put a finger on it, if we could, what aspect of when you're dressed as a woman, what aspect of your personality is easier for you to manifest? Do you know what I'm saying? You're more comfortable, but it must have much more to do than just the clothes. It's a psychic thing.
Yeah, it's because, like I told you, I think a while ago, it's just that what happened when I was growing up, more when I was dressed, you know, as a boy all the time, I always look at myself in the mirror, and I had features, and then a lot of features of a woman, and plus a lot of my friends would tease me because I'm so thin. They would just always tease me that I'm this and that, and I had
so
a lot of
self-confidence. One aspect is self-confidence.
Right, I didn't feel manly. I felt more feminine, even though I played a lot of sports, because I was trying to, maybe if I play sports, if I play these things, maybe these things will go away. But it wasn't, because when I stopped sports, I wanted to dress. So you know what I'm saying? Same thing when I DJ. I'm DJing sometimes. I just like I go home and I have to dress. And sometimes there's many times sometimes I dress that I want to go walk right out of my apartment and just go out there and just, you know, I dress as a woman. Most of the time when I do go to work and I do go out, I have makeup on and I have earrings on and everything, but except I don't have the clothes on. Sometimes underneath my clothes, I do wear clothes, woman's clothes, when I go to work, when I go here, when I go there. I feel more comfortable in that attire than I do a man's attire. I don't like dressing up in men's clothes. I find them bland. I find woman's clothes to be very attractive, very sexy, very different. I don't know. It's just
may I go so far as to say that when you're interacting with people, when you're dressed, do you feel freer? Do you feel like you're more able to share more of yourself? Like more of your words come from a happy heart? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, exactly, Peter. Because it makes me feel that this is who I want to be, and just be. This is the way I want to, you know, interact with people like that. But even still, I'm dressed as a man, I think I act the same way. But it's just like it seems for some reason I just want to be this way because it makes me feel more comfortable. I feel more relaxed, and it's not. I don't know. I just tend to act a little different. But obviously, if you've met me either way, I'm still the same person, because I'm a very, really a fun-loving person. I like to joke around, have fun. But I just, my surroundings are very, a lot of people are just judgmental, and, you know, I've been, you know, looked at as gay, and I don't think anything's wrong with that, because if I look like gay, you'll say, so what? I mean, okay, so you think I'm gay? Then whatever, it's fine, but just don't. Like I said earlier, don't continue to tell me these things without, or not, you know, I hear it through the grapevine, or just come to me and tell me, find out who I am first, instead of, you know, telling me these things. It's hard to explain, Peter, because it's a very hard topic to discuss, because I might have a story right now telling you, you might meet another cross-dresser, and he's going through a different experience. You get my drift, Peter?
Well, yes, I do. And speaking of those experiences, well, yes, but I'm wondering about the group that you met with, and you felt uncomfortable. There was an uncomfortable air, and you left after. Have you visited other groups? Is that the only one you ever went to?
Yeah, I get discouraged. I get discouraged. And plus, a couple of times, some of the clubs, I don't go by myself because, you know, there's a lot of crazies out there. Because, you know, they might, you know, they see you with a dress and everything. They think that you're attractive. But then who knows, they want to take you and chop you up in a couple of pieces. You know what I mean?
Well, yes.
Not that crazy enough to do these things without any some type of company. If I don't have company, I will not go to these places because you hear all these horror stories and all these, you know. There was that movie with... what's that actress' name? I forgot her name. That she had done a movie a couple of years ago about that she was a woman, but dressed as a man, and these guys beat her to death because they found out that she was a woman.
Yes, wonderful movie. I can't call the name of it off the top of my head. Somebody in chat will pop it up. Yeah, I rely on chat for stuff like that. They know everything.
I was in chat earlier. But the fact is that, yeah.
Well, I'm trying to understand when you do go out. You said you used to more than you do now, but when you did go out, was it with a male, with a man?
No, it was basically. I tell you the truth, I like hanging around with women, knowing that they cross dress. For me, it feels like I'm hanging out with another woman, just having fun. For me, if I'm cross dressed with another man, I don't feel like I'm hanging out, you know. It doesn't feel feminine. The problem is that people look at me and say, yeah, but you cross dress, how come you don't hang out with a man? I've had men look at me and call me for dates. There's a couple of guys still calling me, they want to take me out to dates, they want to do this with me and then that one, and I keep on brushing them off because I don't do that. I said I am flattered, but I don't go that way. I told them I just don't do that. And they continue. He says, "Boy, you're beautiful. I want to see you. I want to do this." I don't get physically attracted to that stuff. So basically, what I'm saying is, when I'm hanging with another woman, and I'm dressed, it makes me feel very sexy. It makes me feel like I'm on top of the world. But I've had relationships with other women that know what I do, and they've encouraged me. They've helped me out, and you know, we've gone shopping and, you know, got makeup and all that other stuff. What women do. But like I said, I'm not a woman, so I don't know exactly when a woman is PMSing and all that stuff. I sympathize with them, but I don't know what it is to go through that. So a lot of men, you know, a lot of cross-dressers think that I understand what they're going through. No, you don't. It's you got to be a woman to understand the biological changes that they go through every month. And no matter how hard we try, and I'm a man still, I don't know what a woman's going through, especially when they're PMSing. You don't. And vice versa, when a woman understands when sometimes men, how come a man, you know, because I'm heterosexual, I'm not gay, but why, like I'm a man, I get turned on looking at a woman, and they say, but why you always get, it's something that it's in a male's autonomy. It's just, I look at a woman, it just turns me on. But a gay man doesn't see a woman that way. It's hard to explain. I just, you know, and I don't have that because if I did have a tendency of having to be gay, I would have been hanging out with, you know, gay men many times. But I know some gay men that if I hang out with them, and they told me they want to date me and everything, but I don't do that. But I'll hang out with them. I said, look, I'll hang out with you, but I don't do that. They say, fine, but they still try. So it's the same thing. If I'm attracted to another woman, and I want to have a relationship with that woman, she's going to say, yeah, but I only see you as a friend. So either I'm going to be with them as a friend, or I'm just going to go to the next person. That's how it is. You understand what I'm talking about, Peter?
Well, yes, but I'm interested in finding out how this has affected your relationships with women. And how do women in general? Is there some way? I'm sure every woman is different, just the same every man is different. But in general, how would you say this has affected your life in terms of relationships with women?
Yeah, well, you know, most women, once I tell them and everything, they feel like they're hanging out with someone that they feel more comfortable to talking about women stuff, because they understand why I could relate to that stuff. Where if it was just hanging out with another man, sometimes needs another woman to understand when they're going through problems. Because a lot of women do like to talk about stuff about what women do, or they say, oh, look at this dress, or like, in other words, if a man usually has a relationship with a woman and they tend to go to the stores with them and everything, a lot of men would just be bored walking around doing these things what women do. Me, I just love it. So I guess they love because they know that I like basically those type of things. In other words, majority of things that women like, I like. So it's like a bonus for them. So in other words, if I'm having a relationship with someone, it's a bonus because I understand where they're coming from. I mean, I'm not saying I 100%, you know, 100% of what they're going through, I understand. No, but it helps to know that what they like and they don't like to do. And you could chat about things, talk about things, whatever it is that's bothering them. I can help them out as much as I can, where a lot of men with that macho stuff won't relate to that. They just don't want to hear it. And why do you know, we say, you know, a lot of men will say, oh, women are chatty and all this stuff. I don't believe so. Some women are and some women ain't. And same thing with men. I've met men who are chatty. So it's just who you meet at the time. It's like anything. You can't judge a book by the cover. You can't think that this person is this and that person is that. Or people always say men. People always say woman. It's not. I don't want to ever say that. I always say that person, because this is how I look at things. Because I've seen things where I've met one woman that she's chatty, another woman that she's not as chatty. So it's hard for her to come out. There's women I've met that they don't talk much about themselves. There's other women that talk about things, and they talk about sexual things, and other women that won't talk about nothing. And I've met men who look at me, they want to talk about all this stuff, and other men who just don't talk about shit. Or the men will talk about sports, and other men who don't like sports. So it's just, I look at it as just a person-to-person thing, whether it's male or female. You understand what I mean, Peter?
Well, yes, I do. One of the things I keep, in terms of, how shall I say, you know, everybody wants to define everything as sex. You were just talking about that, that men and women and everybody's different. But, you know, that's the way they want to define gay people. It's all about sex. It's not about loving each other or caring about each other. It's all about sex. And it's the same. It seems to be the same that they do with you. There's we're going to have a guest coming up soon who's going to be talking about Michael Bailey's book, who has set himself up as being the expert on all things, you know, cross-dressing / transsexual and the whole bit, who is insisting that it's purely for sexual reasons. And what I'm hearing from you is that it absolutely couldn't be further from the truth.
Right. Sometimes it is, but then most sometimes, like I'm here, I'm dressed up talking to you. I feel comfortable this way. I'm not saying everything is sexual. Sometimes I do get turned on, but then after a while, I'm dressed up. I just love being dressed up this way. It doesn't mean it's sexual. I'm hanging out with a woman. It doesn't have to be. Come on. If it was sexual, let me put it this way. What I do is I go more than a cross dresser. It's more like I'm a transvestite, because I shave and everything. I just go the whole nine yards. It's not like I just wear stuff and put them in the closet. No, I have wardrobes. I have stuff. I have more women's clothes than I have men's clothes.
Fabulous.
Yes, sometimes it's sexual.
I'm just saying fabulous. I that's an interesting thing. That never occurred to me about, you know, the wardrobe,
right,
and how.
The problem is that I've seen some of these shows, I've read some of these books. I mean, and it's their opinion because that's what they're going through. But see, I have my story. Why I came on also because this is how I look at things and seek things. But yes, sometimes it is sexual, but sometimes it's more than sexual. So like I said, I can hang out with a woman. We can go to the store. And it doesn't have to be everything about sex. It could be just that I want to hang out and buy those shoes and buy those dresses. And I just, it turns me on. I just love those things. I love those things. So, yeah, but it was nice if I have sex. But if I don't have the sex, you know what? I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with that because this is who I am. I'm not going to, you know, go crazy because I didn't have, you know, I didn't get laid, all this other stuff. Or I put on the dress and I had to masturbate. And then I said, well, I'll put the dress away until I have to masturbate again. No, I've done, yeah, I've masturbated with it, but, you know, I've still left my stuff on. And I could go all day with the stuff and I don't have to masturbate. It's just the way it is. That's what I'm trying to say. In other words, you're trying to say is basically when it's because a lot of cross-dressers just to masturbate, and that's what they just do.
Well, that's what they're trying to say, yes.
Right, not me, no. It's a different thing. It's hard. It's because it manifests to this, because I'm 51 now, and I've done a lot of, you know, experimental things and looking at these shows and the clothes and talking to individuals about this stuff and analyzing things, and it's just a hard topic to try to put a finger on, because like you're talking to me, but then you might talk to another cross-dresser and might give you another different perspective on what they're going through. So
I understand completely. I say the same thing, that, you know, I can't represent the entire gay community just like you.
Right.
Can.
Well, one quick thing, like you know Glenn Rivera, right?
Certainly, yes.
Sure. We talked about Glenn many times. I had sent him the pictures, and sometimes when I send him some pictures, and when I send him emails, I call myself Vicky. That's what I call myself. You know, when I'm dressed up, my name is Vicky.
Ah, cool.
It's not
cool.
VJC. VJC is my DJ name. Basically, you know, that's. But I'm not ashamed to talk about these things, or whether, I mean, like I said, I might even when I'm talking right now, someone might be saying in the background that's bullshit, you know. But it's just who I'm not trying to offend anybody. It's just what I'm going through, you know, because it's just. This is just who I am. It's not. It has nothing to do with nobody. It's just who I'm. What I'm going through. So maybe by me talking about this stuff, maybe someone can relate to that, or someone can't relate to that. So, but it's a tough issue to try to resolve, because it's just like anything else. Like I told you about when you meet somebody, you know, of the opposite sex, or you meet somebody of the same sex, you think that the person's supposed to be macho and the other person's supposed to be a woman that's chatty. Sometimes you might meet a woman that's not chatty. And sometimes a woman, I've met a lot of women who don't like really talking about sex. I've met some women who like talking about sex. I've met some women who just don't like doing nothing. So, you know, it's the same thing. It's just what I like to do is what I like to do. So it's hard. Like I've told my sisters about this. One sister understands, the other one doesn't. One of my sisters thinks I'm...
Okay, I believe we're back. Vicki, are you with us? Okay, we're still trying to bring the guest back, and so I think the studio will probably run some more bumper music there, and so we'll see if we can get that taken care of. Okay, good. Studio tells me we are back and up and running. And, Vicki, do we have you back? Okay, maybe they haven't had a chance to get Vicki back on the phone. And in any case, yes, we do have the guest back. Guest is back?
Peter.
Oh, greetings to you.
We have a bell.
Yeah, we have a bell ignition. That's good. I was
in the chat room, so I was, you know, and then Bob was going, "Oh my God," you know. He said, "Damn it!"
Yeah, we say that sometimes around here.
Yeah, you know, it happens. This is happens live radio. Sometimes yes. What happens, Peter, when I'm doing my Disco 93.5 live feeds here in New York, I sometimes lose my connection. It's not here. Sometimes the connection goes, and then I lose all my listeners. I got to reboot my computer and just get back on the air again. So. I mean, those things happen, especially when it's live.
Yes, it's
live.
It's the joy of live radio. If we often say that one day we're going to gnaw through the straps and escape, but there doesn't seem. You know, I recall in our conversation, I'm sorry about the interruption. We had just talked about relationships and talking with women and the comfort level. May I call you Vicki?
Sure, no problem.
How would that be? How does that relate to when you're talking to men? Is your comfort level? I mean, assuming of course they're not after you, or because we've already discussed that would be something that would be unsettling.
Right.
But just in
what happens when I'm around men? Sometimes I feel uncomfortable because some men look like they're just looking at me strange because I cross dress and they think it's gay, so they don't like that. But then I've been around some men that they look at me, that they want to have sex with me because they look at me, they see I'm sexy. So sometimes it's hard for me to try to get a hold on what's going on, whether one man thinks I'm gay or the other man wants to have sex with me or the other one man has just want to just hang with me. So it's a very I find it more harder to be around a man when I'm dressed than when I'm around a woman, if you understand what I mean.
Well, yes, I do. Do you feel that that's maybe the feeling that women have sometimes when they're around men? Do you feel like
exactly.
You have a better...
Right, because a lot of women think that when they're around men, and most people they do is when they're thinking about having sex. See, what I try to do is when I'm around a woman, I'm not going to think about, oh, I want to have sex with her the minute I see her. No, I want to find out what she's about. I mean, because you can have sex with somebody, but then what do you have after that? You know, that's what I don't understand. I mean... Yeah, you can get laid, and then what? what do you have? You know, I have to have substance. I have to have something there to have more than, because, you know, I mean, you can only get laid. How many times can you get laid? Unless it's just someone just wants to have a good time, just one night stand. But I won't do that. That's what I'm about. I've never had that type of thing where I just want to meet somebody and just, you know, get laid. I got to meet somebody and find out who they're about.
It sounds like you're the perfect man for some woman. I mean, who could ask for
right.
more?
A lot of women say to me, say, boy, what a catch. They always tell me, oh, you're so sweet. Oh, you're so sweet. Well, because I don't try to be pretentious. I just try to be who I am. I'm just a down-to-earth person. I don't pull any punches. You know, I just want to go with the flow. I don't try to get over with anybody. Even like I'm talking to you now, Peter, it's like I'm talking to somebody like I just met, you know, we're just talking on the phone. It's not something that I'm trying to get over with somebody. Even when I do my DJ work and whatever else I do, I just also try to always help people out, whatever it is, you know. And the thing is, what I'm trying to say is, Peter, is why can't they just come to understanding that what I do is just who I am, and not look at me like it's like I'm from Pluto, you know, like from another damn planet. It just makes no sense at all. Why can't I just, right now I'm talking to you dressed as a woman, why can't I just go out right now out into the streets and dress like that? No, because I'll probably be beaten to death.
Well, because this is true, and it's an unfortunate statement about our society, the lack of value for anything feminine, and in fact enforced, it feels like enforcement anyway, enforced gender roles. And if you don't follow those enforced roles...
Exactly, you know, that's exactly a point that I've been trying to... Exactly, it's enforced. Because I look at sometimes a lot of ladies get away with dressing up more like a man and no one says anything. As a matter of fact, a woman can go into a man's store and nobody will notice that. But the minute a man goes into a woman's store looking for lingerie, something's wrong with the guy. Oh, he's got to be gay. He's got to be this. He's got to be labeled. I said, but most of the time when I go in there, I tell them, it's my girlfriend. But sometimes, you know, later I've been saying, no, it's for me. They look at me and say, yeah, it's for me. What size? Yeah, I need a small here. It's for me. You know, I just got tired of saying it's for my girlfriend. It's for me.
Well, I'd like to tell you a little story. In fact, I have told a story on the air as an email from one of our listeners, and she has had a mastectomy, and she didn't know how to get the prosthesis to stay in place, or it was all very complicated, and there was like adhesives and all kind of, so she didn't know what to, she went to a. It was a cross-dresser site, or it was a transsexual site. It was a chat room of some sort, and she just went right in and said, "Look, you know, I'm a woman, and you know, this is what has happened to me. How do you handle these things?" And a man immediately, you know, took her aside, like in a private chat, and understood what kind of, you know, unrecognized the brand of the bra, recognized the adhesives, told her exactly how to handle that. In other words, she has always felt a debt to that community just because of their kindness. I just thought I would share that with
right.
you. I thought
no, exactly. Okay. Same thing. Right now, what I have on is like if I had a mastectomy. I mean, when a woman loses her breast, and obviously I have false breasts on. It's the same thing. You put adhesive on, and you just got to learn to just work it like if you have real breasts. So she's probably had to do the same thing. With what I'm going through is like, you know, I don't have woman's breasts. Obviously, I could take hormones. I could do all this stuff. That's what I wanted to do the last couple of years. But I just, there's so many things going on in my life. I don't know, you know, it's just I'm not comfortable right now because I'm still working. And it's very hard. I can't go to work with my breasts, with real breasts on, because then it'd be another problem. Well, maybe I should.
Well, I'm wondering too. Your comfort level with us is mostly with women who understand and who know, because you're not, transgendering. Because you're not taking hormones or anything. Your voice, is that one of the reasons that being around men is less comfortable because of your voice and the threat if they pick up on the fact of.
It's hard to pinpoint it sometimes. Like right now I'm talking to you, but I can talk feminine, but I have to really be like in the mood. Right now, I mean, I want to talk to feminine. I've done it with a lot of women, but
Right.
And I've
right.
even I've been around some men that they, you know, when they start chatting with me, after a while I do it, the whole nine yard thing, but it's just I don't practice the voice as much as I do the everything else, because that's the hardest thing to do, is to try to be talk very feminine when my voice is masculine. So I mean I could talk that feminine, but it's hard for me to do that like almost all day, because I you know, you got to really practice about with the vocal cords and everything. I don't have the time. I want to, but it's just very time consuming. I do other things, you know, like with DJ work and all this other stuff, and people talk to me all the time, and I'm basically talking a lot in my male voice, but I can revert back to a woman's voice, but it's not going to be 100% as a woman, because you got to, you know, like anything, you got to practice to be good at that.
I would imagine it has to be in context, sort of. It has to be part of a flow. It's not something
right.
you can just
right.
do on.
Same thing like when I DJ. If I stop doing how I'm DJing, eventually I'm gonna lose the flow of what I'm doing, because I'm not doing it as much as I used to. So sometimes even when I spin music, some days I'm on, some days I'm off. Same thing when I'm gonna talk as a woman. Sometimes it doesn't sound womanly, other times it does, because sometimes I might not be in that state where I really want to talk feminine, because it, you have to work on it. It's like anything, even when I'm cross-dressed, I have to work on looking the part. You just can't go and just put certain things on and cross-dress. It's you got to work it like anything else. You got to, especially if you're in the public, you look too much like a man. You got to look more like, you got to look feminine. You got to look feminine. You got to dress the part, be the part. And the one thing, we're going back to this thing about that most cross-dress just to masturbate. Yes and no. So this is what I'm trying to say. I said, yeah, I do masturbate, but I take it further, where I'm right now basically dressed 24/7 as a woman. I go to sleep sometimes in nightgowns, lingerie, all that other stuff. I wake up, I'm always with heels on. I rarely wear, you know, men's stuff. It's basically, I'm always wearing panties. I don't wear man's underwear. I'm always, when I go to the doctor, I have women's panties on. I even told my doctor I'm a cross-dresser. I don't care no more. I've told a lot of my people I've gone through in the doctors and professions, this is what I do. I mean, well, if God forbid something happens, they tell me, why is your leg shaved? Because I said, because I cross-dress. What do you want me to do? I mean, I'm not gonna grow my hair back just to go to the doctor.
Well, these groups, I guess you might call them encounter groups with other cross-dressers, are most of the men with their wives? I'm reading more, you know, a lot of times the wives stick with, you know, they become kind of a team. The wife helps her partner.
Right,
most
cross-dressers that do this, because I'm not really a cross-dresser, I'm calling it a transvestite, because I've taken it a further step. Most cross-dressers do it because it's a turn-on in bed. They like wearing feminine clothes. It's feel more feminine, you know, just the material, the way it feels. That sometimes the way a woman's perfume smells on the material and everything, it's just a turn-on. I guess I'm not 100% sure, because this is just what I perceive it to be. I could be completely wrong. I mean, I don't want nobody to think that I'm trying to tell them no. It's just my opinion. So, I mean, this is how I look at things. But basically, to me, I get turned on, but then I dress the part, I be the part. In other words, I shave. I'm constantly shaving. I'm constantly putting on makeup. I'm constantly, you know, jewelry. I mean, go to work basically with a lot of jewelry. People see I have big earrings on and everything. I have not small earrings. I have big earrings. I got hoop earrings. Like I go to work.
Wonderful.
My hair is pretty, yeah,
and
but her hair is pretty long.
When you're DJing, right?
Yeah.
Right. And do you dress when do you sometimes dress completely when you're DJing? And do you do that at gay clubs or straight clubs?
No. The only time I do my DJ work, it's only here in my apartment when I do my DJ work. I've never gone out and done it in my gigs. No, I've never gone out and done it dressed up, because I've never had the opportunity to go with that type of atmosphere where I can let loose. I've just never encountered that. But if I would encounter it, yes, I would do it. then why don't you see what's the big deal? It's just you got to be in that atmosphere. If it's, the atmosphere is not there, you can't do it, because in this world, like we, you were telling me about a half hour ago about how it has to be a male and it has to be a female thing. If it's a little different, it's something's wrong with you, which is not so. Who made up these rules? It's like someone made up these rules years ago telling you that this is the way it's got to be, what a man has to be and a woman has to be. No, it's just... they should just have it where you feel comfortable. However you feel comfortable, you're still the same person. I'm still going to shake your hand whether I wear a dress or not. I'm still going to be the same person. What's the big deal?
Well, I think the big deal is the threat level. I think that...
Right, the same thing like with gay marriages. You know, a lot of people say, oh, that's taboo. And all. I don't find anything wrong with that. You know, if as long as they're happy together, whether they're male or female, they you know, and... they want to be happy, so what? So let it be. They're not bothering anybody. They're in love with each other, whether it's a male, female. I believe in just let it be. As long as you're happy with the situation, what's the big deal? They're not bothering nobody. That's their life. They want to live their lives their way. Cool, right? Who cares? I don't care. That's just the way I feel.
Well, maybe how would you?
Is what I do.
Well, it makes sense to me, and I couldn't agree with you more. There are too many rules that people are trying to control other people's private or personal behavior. As long as you're not hurting anybody, right? It just doesn't seem like. But unfortunately, that's what we're stuck with, and it's what we're fighting. And it seems to me that your group is almost completely invisible.
Exactly, but the thing is, we don't come out, because that's why I'm trying to. It's hard for me because I don't know where to take the. I just took the avenue, this avenue, because obviously when I did the show with you and I read the thing, I said, you know what, let me go on Peter's show and just go with the flow, and whatever happens, happens. You know, I'm sick and tired of not being able to express what I feel inside to others. And just tell them the story of what I'm going through, whether it's cross-dressing, whether it's DJing, whatever it is. Because in my life, I've never had an opportunity to express my likes and dislikes about things in society, because I'm tired of listening to other people's shit, excuse the expression, and just sit there and take it all the time. And I'm tired of it. I just want to be able to voice my opinion about the situation. This is America. I'm entitled to my opinion, whatever it is. And if they don't like it, too bad. I mean, who are you to tell me that I can't do this because these are your rules? Well, these are my damn rules. You got to listen to my rules. If you don't like it, well, damn, too bad. Same thing what's going on with the terrorism stuff and all that other nonsense, where we can't even take a damn plane, because every time you're going to take a plane, they're going up your butthole to see if you got a bomb up there. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
It's, you know?
You have
if something's going to happen, it's going to happen, but it's just too much security. Anyway, that's another story in itself. But that's Bob's show.
Yeah, right. We leave unto Bob what is Bob.
Yeah, that's
what
political stuff.
Right. Growing up, you mentioned that, you know, 9 years old or so, you know, and perhaps even earlier. But I'm wondering, did you grow up in the Catholic Church, or did you grow up in a church?
We were Catholic. I had my confirmation, my communion, and everything. I'm not a religious person. I'm not. I have my beliefs about God and all this other stuff. I don't.
Well, that was where I was headed. I was wondering if you had ever, you know, as a child, maybe felt pressured or ever went and talked to a priest about any of this. And I was wondering what kind of feedback you got.
No, I never did pressure. I never pressured myself to talk about that to the priest or anybody. But because back then it was very taboo. As what I was growing up, so it was very hard for me to couldn't talk about things like my family. I had to keep everything a secret. It was even harder. I started coming out basically when I was in my 30s, and then obviously I started seeing a psychiatrist and with other relationships with women's in relations with women, and it just came out more and more. When I was younger, it was very back in the 60s, 70s, you couldn't talk about that stuff. It was very taboo. Everything was in the closet. You couldn't talk about nothing. Because when I used to do these things, I had to run in the corner to just do something real quick and then come out. Because I was living with brothers and sisters. It was very hard. It was very hard to do what I was doing.
I can't imagine.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to make it go away, Bob, but I couldn't. And the thing is, there was a time where I had like a half hour of time to do it, so I had that space to do it, and I had to run, do my transformation real quick, and then stop and go. I had to put on some makeup and take it off. I mean, it was just, and I had a beard on and everything. It was just, I couldn't shave, because if I did shave, they were going to say, why are you shaving? Because that's not who you are, because you have a beard all the time. So it was very difficult.
Well, I should say so. Well, tell me, when you were seeing the psychiatrist, did he try to label you as a gender disorder? What is the word they call it? A gender identity disorder? Did he try to, or did he? How did that go?
Well, when
how were you
a
treated?
Woman. It was a woman, but she was understanding why she found that there was nothing really wrong with me, because she said she was just, you know, it wasn't really. Maybe that was, I can't remember, that we were talking about the gender identity. It could be right. I couldn't remember exactly what we were, you know, what she was talking about in that respect. But I know she was telling me that it's okay to be what I want, you know, who I want to be. So it helped me to find the strength to say, well, you know, I don't think there's anything really wrong with me because of what I'm doing. And even if she was going to tell me something otherwise, I was still in my beliefs were, I'm not doing anything wrong. I just who I want to be, and I couldn't stop. It, no matter what anybody's going to tell me, I'm still going to do what I'm going to do, because it's just who I am, and that's the way I'm still right now. I'm talking to you like this. I'm not going to stop. Even seeing a psychiatrist, is going to say, well, you have this problem. No, this. I don't think so. And, you know, I would debate with them. I said, no, I feel fine. I'm not going to take no pills. I'm not going to do this, because I feel I this is who I want to be. And that's the way it is. The same thing like a gay person. They look at a gay person and say, well, maybe we can straighten this person out and be straight. No, it doesn't work that way, right?
Well, it absolutely doesn't. I can share a little story with you. When I was, 9, 10, 11, somehow a family member, one of my sisters, found out that I was gay. I got a letter in the mail, and somebody had written XOXO on the back. It was just silly. You know, it wasn't anything. But anyway, that brought it all to a head. So she was... she took me to a psychiatrist, and the psychiatrist was a woman, wanted me to begin masturbating while looking at Playboy magazine and stuff like that. And I thought to myself, honey, I don't think so. You know?
No, it's not going to work. The parts don't work that way. It's the same thing like when... Right. It's the same thing when I'm around a gay man and he's hitting on me, but I tell him, look, you're a very attractive man. I know you're gay. I'll hang out with you, but I don't get turned on by that. So you got to respect that. So vice versa, same thing here. So I understand, you know, and that's the beauty of it, is that when you do find people who understand, which is hard to find, when you do find those people, you got to like hang on to those, because it's just a small circle of people that understand that. There's not too many other people. Most people will look at you and me like there's something wrong with us. We're from another planet. Oh, because you know you like the same sex, or you wear women's clothes, or all this other stuff. There's something wrong with you. You know that this is not what society is supposed to be like.
What circumstances do you obviously you prefer to be dressed in women's clothes? But under what circumstances do you dress as a man that you feel forced to?
When I got to go to work. When I got to go to work, when I got to go outside, when I got to do, you know, manly things. And then most of the time, I tell you, there was many times when I'm dressed here, before I go to work, I have some makeup on, and sometimes I have a little outfit on, and sometimes I got to take my outfit off and then put on my men's clothes to leave, you know, but the apartment to go to work. But sometimes there's been times lately, the last several years, that I have temptations of just going out to work like that.
Well, I can't say I blame you. It's a hell of a lot of work to keep changing, and
yeah, it's Peter. What it is that it gets to be that I want to be more dressed as a woman than being a man. So maybe it's like I said, I'm not really a cross dresser. It's more like a transvestite going into like a transsexual thing. It's more like I'm on steps. I the first step of being a cross-dresser, I'm not really a cross-dresser, I'm more than that, if you understand what I'm talking about. See, because basically, like I was talking earlier, cross-dresser basically puts on women's clothes just to masturbate, or when they're having sex with their girlfriend or the wife, and that's it. And they don't even shave or nothing. They still have hair on and everything. I take it further. I shave every day. I basically, you know, work in like I'm a woman, you know, a woman's features and everything. So this is what I don't understand, and I've always think, you know, people say, you're a cross-dresser. I said, no, I'm a transvestite. Because a transvestite or more, the person is basically one who does even more, or takes it further to the next step, where they look more feminine. They always shave. They, you know, it's. I mean, obviously, if you see a woman with all this hair on and everything, I mean, a male with all the hair on and dressed up in ladies, garments and everything, and a little bit of makeup, they don't look right. They look horrible. They don't even dress the part. Have you seen that many times, right?
Right. Well, let me ask you this. I'm not asking you what you do for a living, but I'm just curious about one aspect of it. If, for any reason, your coworkers found out, or you made any attempt to go dressed, would it be like total annihilation? I mean, is it like a super macho sort of a job? I mean,
you know what? Well, Peter, between me and you, there's a lot of ladies in the job know what I do, and some of my friends already know what I do because I blurted it out and I couldn't take it anymore.
Good for you.
Yeah, and most of the people who've known me for years, they got over the shock. Now they know what I do. I walk around and they've seen me because I have my hands, the nails. I have red nail polish on. I go to work with red nail polish on. I got my jewelry on. I wear a lot of rings and things, and they look at me. I don't care no more. But I just used to tell. I tell them there's a lot of guys in there that's hitting on me. They're hitting on me because I look feminine. There's a couple ladies that I've been told that one day I'm going to come dress, and some of them say you better not because it's not right. But
well,
that's discrimination right there.
Well, if it's a large corporation, even though you're close to your coworkers, we've heard stories around here, for instance, people who are transgendering on the job, often the higher management, like at the home office somewhere, will make sure that you're fired. And still, again, I'm not asking where you work. I'm just, you know, sharing that, you know, you're not even safe necessarily when the coworkers know.
Right. So, but obviously, you know, I before I do something, I always think before I do. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to do anything to jeopardize my income. So, I mean, I joke about it, but I said to myself, you know what, it ain't worth it. So, it's a shame that I can't be what I want to be in that surroundings. But you know, you got to take the good with the bad. You know how it is. I mean, you're a gay man, so it's sometimes, you know, and it's disheartening because you can't be who you want to be in society over stupid rules, over stupid nonsense. Which makes
well,
no sense at all.
Well, it doesn't. And I'm curious about, would you like to settle down, or would you like to have children? And is there somebody? What do you think about that?
Well,
do you think it's impossible?
Well, Peter,
to find
what happened was I've had relationships with a lot of ladies. I wanted to get married. I wanted to have kids. But now I'm 51. You know what? That's past me now. I don't want to deal with that. If I met a lady and she had some kids, you know, like adult children or whatever, that wouldn't bother me. But to have a kid of my own, no. I did 10 years ago, 15 years ago, because, I mean, 51, so I'm going to be 52, whatever. I don't have time. Then, you know, I just can't be who I want to be. Then, you know, it's just not going to be, I'm not going to have time for myself. You know what I mean? And
well,
I don't
yes,
think I want to go through that.
Actually,
years ago, yes.
At 53, I get it. You know, it's just too much trouble. You know what I mean?
Right. I'm at a point where once you reach 50, you know, you just want to just chill. You know, you want to. I've been through certain things in my life, and that's the way it is. I meet a lady, and she wants to have a kid. I said, well, look, you know, then you have to look elsewhere. I mean, I'll have sex with you, but it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be that you're going to have a kid with me because I'm not going to do that. No. I mean,
well, have
you
ever
think
been
about.
Yeah, well, I'm just wondering about your relationships. Have you ever been betrayed in a relationship? And by that, I mean by a woman who was you were close to, who knew all about, you know, the everything, and then for whatever reason she became angry and then started spreading the news. If you know what I mean, have you ever been betrayed that way? Are you fully comfortable with women? I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, no. And
trust.
If she did, no, I never had that problem. Plus, if she did, it wouldn't bother me because even if she would have told the other person down the block or whatever, they probably would have known already because I would have told. I mean, like I'm telling you now, I'm on the internet radio here with you, so who knows? Everybody knows, I guess, whoever's listening to now that VJC is a transvestite. big deal.
Yeah, big deal.
I still
what are you going to do? Right,
still
exactly. Exactly.
I mean,
well,
you know.
Over your lifetime, have you ever been in a situation where you were physically attacked by a group of men because of this?
No, because I'm very, very, like I tell you, Peter, I think before I do. I'm always conscious about my surroundings because I come from, let's say I come from like a ghetto type of environment. You know, I come from like a projects. I live in the projects. In other words, I live in a dwelling. And the environment here since I've been young, it's very street oriented. In other words, if you're not tough around here, you're not going to make it. So I've been through a lot of things in my life. So in other words, I'm what's called a Puerto Rican. In other words, Puerto Rican means I'm poor. I'm not a Puerto Rican. I'm a Puerto Rican. You understand me?
Yes.
It's just a joke that I go around telling people I'm Puerto Rican.
It's funny, but our subject matter is so serious. I don't know whether to laugh or not. But yeah, I love it.
Well, you know, Peter, the thing is. I have a very sense of, I have a sense of humor. I like to joke around. I like to have fun. And I sometimes take some words and I put them on out of context and I joke around about things because this is how I like to be let people feel that they can talk about anything around me and not worry about, oh, he said a taboo word or he didn't say the magic word. Come on, we're all adults here. Stop the nonsense. I mean, I've said a couple of bad words on the show, but I don't know if it's okay. So sometimes I can let loose. So sometimes I don't because I don't want to ruin the reputation that you have.
Oh, it's internet radio. I mean, I've melted down once or twice. You can
I try to not let loose because that's just the way I am. But sometimes I've done my show on Live 365 and I've gotten frustrated with my show. Sometimes I've let loose. Because it's just frustrating what goes on. I mean, I'm talking about the music, but then obviously today the topic is what I'm going through. It's very, at least I'm talking about it. Where a lot of these people who do it, they don't want to be known that they're doing this stuff, because if they do, they feel that their lives are going to be destroyed. But it's wrong because they're just doing what they feel that they want to do. What's wrong with that? Why don't they just stop pretending to be somebody they're not and just let loose? In other words, Peter, I'm being who I am. And if no one likes the way I am, I'm not going to change because, oh, he puts a woman's dress on. He's got to be something's wrong with him. But you know what? Between me and you, I can do the nasty as the next guy can do it. Because just because I wear a dress doesn't mean I can't do the nasty. Because I can do the nasty. And so you understand me?
Yes.
So that I mean, whether I'm gay or not, whatever. What does it have to do? Because I wear a dress. Or I look feminine. Or I wear women's earrings. Or I have makeup on. So what? There's a lot of rock stars that walk around with makeup on and all that, and they get away with it. They got the tattoos and everything. Tommy Lee Jones, I mean, I can go on, that guy, Kid Rock, right? Come on, what's his name, Marilyn Mason?
Right. Well, there's a question from one of our listeners that's coming through in production chat. One of our listeners is asking how long it takes for the whole feminization regime, I assume he's referring to the makeup process and, you know, the dressing, and what kind of time commitment is involved is what this question is.
Peter, I got it down to the science. I can do it in 15 minutes, even less. I can get dressed in 5-10 minutes. I'm ready out the door. I can put on my makeup and everything fast. I got it down to pad because I basically put on my makeup on every day. I have everything ready to go. Eyeshadow, lip gloss, all that other stuff. The makeup. Basically, that's it. I mean, 15, 20 minutes, not even that.
Go ahead.
I said I get faster dressed than some women try to do it. They'd even look at me and say, but how do you have time to put on makeup in the morning? I can't even put it. A lot of ladies would tell me, I said, well, you got to practice, girl. You got to practice. you got to practice, girl.
We talked about the groups, you know, and some bad experiences with the groups. Do you in your close circle of friends? Do you have friends who are supportive do you feel completely alone at this point in time?
No, I have. A quick story. I have a male friend that I used to work with years ago, that he's bisexual, and obviously we talk about a lot of things, but he still wants to, you know, date me. But we're very close, so we can talk about things in general, and he even encourages me. He says he likes me when I'm dressed as a woman, because that I look more attractive as a woman than I do a man. So that helps me when someone like that, even though he's a man, it helps me to build more confidence in what I do. And a lot of ladies have told me too the same thing. They said, "Boy, you look better than me. What do you do?" I said, "I don't know. It's just I have traits. Like I said, I have traits like look like a woman. If it wasn't for that, I think if I look more like manly and if I was dressed up, I don't think I would be doing it as much, because I wouldn't look the part. You got to look the part. If you don't look the part, it just doesn't look right." So I hope I'm making that clear. It's hard to explain. It's very hard. It's just, you know what? If you were to meet me in person and see me dressed like that, then you will understand. Oh, what I have to do is show you some pictures of how I look, and then maybe you could say, "Oh, I see what he was talking about." Because I've gotten many people tell me, "Boy, you look more better than me." A lot of ladies. I said, "Well, I don't know what I do. I work it." I said, "I work it, girl. I work it."
Well, what I'm hearing as an overall view is that your personality is fully expressed when you're dressed.
But it took a long time to get to this point, Peter, because obviously when you're in your 50s, you know, life is different than when you're in your 30s or the 20s, because, you know, when you're younger, you have more friends around and more judgmental and everything. As you get older, you tend to understand the world better, and you tend to understand, you know, what's going on in your surroundings. But when we were younger, you know, you're not thinking about all this stuff, you know. But I was thinking about too much about what other people are going to perceive me to be. But the last 10 years, 5 years, I'm not worrying about it no more, because I'm at a point in my life that I'm moving on to the next phase of my life, because I don't know how much longer I might have to live in this lifetime. You know, I mean, I could go tomorrow. I don't know, but I gotta live for how I feel comfortable with. So maybe 15 years ago, I never thought about this because I thought I was too young and nothing's gonna happen to me. But as you get older, you start thinking about, you know, this is how I'm looking at it. So I said to myself, you know, I gotta feel comfortable the way I am and not worry about what other people can perceive me to be, because I gotta live my life, not live other people's what they want me to perceive them. They see me to be. You know what I mean? It's not gonna work, because it's not.
Well, you know, this law, the ENDA law, I can never remember the whole thing. The Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which is having such a difficult time. Bush will no doubt veto it, but if that were to pass, it would protect gender expression the way I'm reading it, which would seem to me to cover you too, even though maybe I don't know.
There is a protection they have for certain states, but I know in New York you have protection, and you were telling me earlier what profession I do. I work for the city of New York. So I do have protection, because I mean, because it's called EEO, equal opportunity employer, something like that. They have I forgot what it's called, but I read that there's discrimination. They have this. It will be discrimination. I can get I'm protected because of that. They can't discriminate because of what I do.
I see. And but even though it's still not something you want to push that point by dressing to go to work.
Oh no, but in case someone, in other words, I come to work with these jewelry and everything, and everybody thinks that, you know, I look this and that, and then they will say, what's going on with you? You have to wear a certain attire. But if I feel comfortable this way, that's discrimination. They can't do that. I could bring up on a lawsuit. They can't do that. But I read about these things, and you know, obviously. I have protection because of that. Yeah, the city of New York does. You know, there is a law against that. They can't discriminate.
I see. Well, you know, in the gay community, we're constantly faced with the question of, you know, you chose to be that way. You were not born that way. You know, it's
no,
sin.
Also,
right. What do you think the combinations were? Do you think it's something that partly environmental, how do you think of it to yourself?
It's like everything else in society. It's like when we're growing up, you know, when we were small, and then as we get to know the world, these rules were brought upon us and said, well, this is how it's going to be, because if this person is blue, it's got to be blue. Now, if the person is black, we can't have that. We have to be blue all the time. Or if the person acts a little bit more like a woman and he's a man, he can't have that. So, you know what I mean? What I'm trying to say is when we were growing up, it was all these rules and regulations, because back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, not so much 70s, but the 50s, 60s, they had this mentality of it had to be a certain way, it had to be a certain religion, had to be a certain way of looking, had to be a certain way of being. If not, it was dressed, it was like you were from, you know, taboo. It was just not to be thought of. You couldn't, oh, what, are you crazy? I mean, are you gay? Oh, you wearing a dress or whatever it is, or another woman with another woman? What is that? No, can't have that. So you would be banished to Boogie Land. You know what I mean? Just, no, that's. But I mean, it's gotten a little better, but it's still discriminating. They still discriminate against people like me and you. You know, people look at you and me, you know, like something's wrong with us. Well, there's nothing wrong with me. There's something wrong with you.
Right. Well, you present yourself in a very masculine way. I mean, you know, verbally, but and it's an interesting contrast. You know, I'll tell you a story. I had a guest on a while back, and it completely opened my eyes about how variant we all are. This guest is a transsexual, a male to female transsexual. I said, okay, so I have a guest who's a male to female transsexual, and we're going to do all that. But lo and behold, she's on the show. She's not only a male-to-female transsexual. Now that she's female, she's having a lesbian relationship. Do you see how complicated that is? I mean, in terms of how difficult it is to classify people? It reminds me of you in a way, in the sense of the disconnects.
Right. Well, like, basically, if I were to be a woman, basically, I'd be seeing other women, so I'd be a lesbian because I'm attracted to a woman. So if I were to be basically become like a woman, I would like to be around women. But most transsexuals or females want to date men. I would date women because I got obviously the way I feel about the situation, because I don't feel. But maybe, who knows? I don't know. Sometimes you don't know. Sometimes until you're in the situation, so I don't know. You know, I've thought about sometimes gay tendencies. I mean, who doesn't? I mean, I'm not. I've thought about it many times, but I tried, but it just nothing happens. So it's just, you know, the equipment doesn't work when I try that. It just doesn't work. I tried, it just doesn't work. So
well, I understand.
Yeah.
Just as a by the way, she'll be joining us again on the 18th, which is next Thursday. If you're interested in hearing her talk, she'll be back again. She'll be talking about we'll be going ranting about a different subject.
Maybe I'll drop by and I'll buzz you.
Yeah, but by all means, and there are links to her site on the Strictly Confidential site. But the thing that it is that you know, even our rainbow that we talk about, you know, the LGBT rainbow, and you know, there are many, many, many more colors than what any of us pretend. It's astounding to me. It, quite frankly, it is astounding to me how different we all are. And there, you know, as I've said many times on the show or in chat, normal is just a setting on the dryer, you know?
Exactly. I mean, it's all it is. It's a button. It's a button. It's all of the button. It's society. It's where people who set these rules and regulations, people in power, whatever it is, they set up all these rules and regulations, but who are they to dictate to me and you what's right from wrong or our sexuality? It's bullshit.
Well, most of it's dictated by the church. I believe that if we analyze it...
Right. That's one reason why I'm not religious. One of the reasons. Not. Well, there's other reasons also, but I believe in the higher God up there, but that's about it. I don't believe in praying. That's whatever. But it's just dictated to us what's right from left. That's nonsense.
Well, what do you think about the percentages? You know, there's always this argument about 10% of the population is gay, and then they're lefty or the fundies are always going, no, it's only 3%. What
I think
would you
more.
Say to? Well, I do too, quite frankly. And I read
there's a lot of
today
people that don't think that sexuality because they feel if they do, they're going to be branded, you know, like we are. And I don't give a shit because if that's the case, let it so be it. Because at least I come out and tell people. This is how I want to be, and not hide it. Now I'm tired of living in the closet. Hell with that. They don't like it too damn bad.
Today I read that as many as 40% of the heterosexual male population is at some point in their lifetime put on a female garment. Just to, you know, maybe once. Who knows? As a
or
child, who knows?
Sometimes think of gay tendencies. A lot of people sometimes, even myself, I do think about gay tendencies. Yes, I've just told you that before, but if I'm gay, I don't know sometimes. Sometimes I even question it. I don't even know. I'm confused. I don't know. But I know what I like to do is I like to be more feminine than the masculine. I mean, I'm talking to you more masculine right now, but it's just that I get so angry that I'm not really, you know, being feminine enough because it's just the anger in me that I'm powerless. Just powerless. I have no power. I mean, not that even if I had the power, I wouldn't be like, I would try to find out what people are coming from and then try to work with everybody's likes and dislikes, and you come to an agreement that way. But everybody's, by pushing down and saying you can't do this because I say so, but who are you? You know, if you're born into this world, you got to be dictated from somebody's telling you, well, it's this is the way it's got to be. That's nonsense. No, this is what I like to do. So let me be. It's a free society. I'm not bothering nobody. As long as I'm not doing anything bad to anybody, what's the big deal?
Well, let me ask you this:
if
the society were different, and we woke up in the morning and nobody cared what we did, you know,
that would be a beautiful thing.
How would you handle it? Would you dress female all the time? Or would
sure.
you? That
sure.
would be.
Sure, I'm hanging out, just not worrying about people looking at me. You know, people just. As a matter of fact, there's here in New York. There's certain places you can go, like called a village. Nobody cares. There's certain parts of the city you can go to. Nobody cares. There's certain parts in New York you can go, but you know you got to be careful. But there's parts you can go, you can get away with it. And nobody cares. Two hoots. What's going on? Nobody cares. There's places.
I'm interested. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. There's many places in the States that you can go to, but it's not that many. But you just got to know where to go and when not to go. But what happens to me is I don't go to these places because I don't have someone to go with, to hang out with, because I'm not just going to go. I don't know what's going to happen. So I get nervous and tendencies. I'm thinking about something's going to happen. So I back off because of that.
Well, let me ask you how far, if the world were different tomorrow and nobody cared what we did, how far would you go? Would you, like, go ahead and have, like, your beard removed and?
Well, yeah, no, I would have electrolysis and all that stuff and, basically, I mean, I would do almost the whole 9 yards, except I wouldn't get sexual reconstructive surgery, SRS. You know, I wouldn't do that.
The surgery, but are you saying that you would take the hormones to change your voice?
Yeah. I went to see a doctor about that, and I still got to see somebody else. So I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe who knows? In 5 years from now, I'll talk to you again, Peter, and I'll be more feminine than ever before.
Well, being a gay man, I love your voice. I mean, it's a terrible thing to lose.
Peter, a lot of gay men have told me that, or even a lot of people tell me you have a very nice voice, and a lot of women like you. So okay, well, fine. I mean, I tend to blush a lot about when people give me compliments because I'm not one to get a fat head over certain things because they say, oh yeah, I know that. You know, it makes you feel good, but you know, I don't take it to an extreme and I say, well, you know, I know I'm it. No, it's just that I'm happy about the compliment, but I don't take it to extreme. You know how sometimes someone says and they think that they're it. I'm just a regular human being, just trying to make it in this world, you know. And
I've learned so many things in this show. When we had Ethan St. Pierre on a good while back, Ethan's the fellow who runs the Trans FM that you said that you had noticed on the Strictly Confidential.
Right.
Apparently, a lot of transsexuals, do the beard. I'm not sure what is electrolysis or whatever they call it, and the hormones. But many of them don't ever do the surgery. Apparently, the surgery is still at the point where there's no guarantee that there's any feeling.
It takes a long time for healing. It takes a long time. Even if you're going to have sexual functions, and obviously if you have a vagina. And it's not going to be like a real vagina, I guess. I mean, eventually it does, but you know what? I read about those. I saw those things. I said, I'm not doing that. That's just, that's okay. You know, I mean, basically that's how I feel. You know, I think about these things too, but it's just too much to go through. Maybe my next world, maybe I'll become a woman. I don't know. We don't know. I mean, you know, who knows? Maybe I'll come back as a hockey puck. I don't know.
I believe
in reincarnation. I believe in that somehow when we leave this world, we come back as somebody else. That's just my belief. I believe I'm going to come back as who knows what. I think also I lived another life of something else, and maybe that's why maybe I feel feminine. Maybe I was a feminine person in another life, and now this is how I am right now. Or maybe, I don't know. I don't know. I've also been called, maybe I shouldn't say that, I'm not a religious person, but a lot of people that I've been around, they think I'm some kind of angel because I've helped so many people in my life. They keep on telling me, you know, you're not an angel. You're like an angel. I said, show me money. I'm just joking with it, but...
What people would call... it's one of the traits that that men are not supposed to have, you know, the caring, empathy... It's one of the female traits that we have, but society, you know, in terms of being the real man, like society puts up, you know, you're supposed to be successful and have a lot of money and be very macho.